The Lord is good. Thank you, my brother Chelsea cooked for us today, and we had a great time there with the kids and with their family. What a great family, amen. Wow, what a blessing, and so it's been fabulous. Take your Bible with me, if you will. The Gospel according to Matthew tonight, chapter 14, beginning with verse number 22. Our oldest granddaughter, when she was little bitty, and she was staying with us some, and every night she'd say, "Papa, read Jesus walking on the water." I mean, every time she was over there, Harmony was over there, that's her name, I'd read Jesus walking on the water. And she got so good at it that I would read a little way and I'd just stop and I'd let her go. And so when I first time I preached from it, I got her on the stage with me, Philip. And so I'd say a little bit and I'd let her say the rest of it. And of course, everybody listened. It was great. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse number 22. So this morning we looked at being overwhelmed by Jesus. I think that's the key to all of life. I think it's just the key, because I want my walk with Christ to be out of a love relationship and not out of religion. Religion's just a bunch of do's and don'ts, and it dries up our life. But when you or I are in a love relationship with somebody, there's nothing we won't do for them. And so that's where we want to go. Tonight I want to look at walking with Christ. We've trusted Him. What does it look like to walk with Christ? Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. Would you stand with me for just a moment as I read God's word? Matthew 14, verse 22, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when His disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I," or that actually translates, "I am. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Him. They worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You for Your glorious salvation. And so we pray tonight, we're asking not just for one, two, three, or four, but for every single one of us in this building tonight, Lord Jesus, we want to hear from You. So that when we walk out, we know that we've heard from You, and may You empower us to respond, Lord, as You change us for Your honor and glory. In Your name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was surprised the other night. We were watching a movie on TV. There's not many of those you can do, you know. And the channel, I didn't even know it existed, came up, and it said faith, family, and something else. I don't know what it said. But I said, "Diane, what about that?" It mentioned faith. And every now and then in our culture, faith will be mentioned, especially when there's an election. Have you noticed that? All the folks that talk about faith, some of those guys or ladies say, "I'm a person of faith." And they mean that. They know Christ. They have an intimate personal relationship with Him. Some of those guys wouldn't know faith from a jackrabbit, right? I'm telling you. I mean, some of them said, "I'm a person of faith." Well, that meant they might have gone to church at one time. And so all through, every now and then, we'll hear something about faith. When you read the Bible, Jesus mentioned faith quite a bit. There were times when Jesus would say, "How is it that you have no faith?" And then there's some times that say, "How is it that you have little faith? O ye of little faith," if you remember, He said that several times. And then there were times where He even complimented folks, but it almost seemed like those were Gentile people when he said, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. When I think of faith, I think of what we learned when I was a kid, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. Faith is really an abandoned life, isn't it? That's what faith is. It's not some theological things that we think about. Faith is a lifestyle. I mean, it is a sold out to Jesus lifestyle where we forsake all and we trust him. As you know, in the Christian life, faith is the beginning of the Christian life. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I know Pastor Brady, I've listened to him, and all the great pastors that you've had here have said that we can't work our way to heaven. Amen? We can't. Why can't we? Well, because sin is in our hearts. We have a heart condition, and we can't change our hearts. Only God can do that. So by the amazing grace of God, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his glorious resurrection, his ascension into heaven, sending the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and by grace through faith, we receive the gift of eternal life. Amen? And so all the religious things we could do in the world are not going to save us. The church I pastored off the base at Fort Knox in Kentucky once, when I was there, we had a drill sergeant to come, and man, he just wanted to do everything around the church. And he was doing this, and he was cutting the grass, and he was painting things, and he was doing this, doing that. And so I had to go to the base, and we just had to meet together. And I sat down with him. I said, hey, let's talk about what's going on. And he was just trying to work it. You know, he was going to try to do enough to get to heaven. I said, you can't do that. I don't care what you do. You'll never do enough to get to heaven. It's the gift. You got to receive the gift. We repent of our sins, turn from sin and self, and trust in Christ. But giving our hearts to Christ by faith, that's not the end. That's the beginning, right? You know, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we start by grace through faith, but then it's a glorious journey of walking by faith. This passage of Scripture to me is just one of the classics on, I mean, the whole Bible is, of course, from the beginning to the end, but this is one of the classic passages just to give us some things about walking by faith tonight. Aren't you glad to see the young people on the front row? Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. All right. The older you get, you just need to be near the back door, okay? That's what happens. It's a natural progression. But anyway, praise the Lord that you're here. So let me give you some things tonight. Hang on now, we got to recover. So tonight, let's look at this passage of Scripture and hear some things for tonight. Number one is this: Jesus will lead us into situations that grows our faith. He will, won't he? So the Bible says here that they have fed 5,000. As a matter of fact, they wanted to make Jesus the king after the feeding of this 5,000. And so they get off to themselves. And Jesus, the Bible says, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side of the sea while he sent the multitudes away. And then when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, Jesus knew what's about to happen here. He knew every detail. But these guys were disciples. You know, the biblical word disciple is the word learner. A disciple is a learner. And so these guys didn't come just for a vacation with Jesus. They came as learners. They were disciples. And so they were growing in their grace and knowledge of the Lord. They were growing in what it means, listen to me, not to try harder, but to trust more. The Christian life is not about trying harder. You know, we're going to have revival, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to try harder not to sin, and I'm going to try harder. Well, forget that stuff. The harder we try, the worse it is. We got to trust. Man, we've got to say it's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. I mean, it's only Christ that can do this in us. And so Jesus, when he knew what was going on, and he sent them across the wave and across the sea, and he knew some things were going on. And that's the same way it is about life, is it not? The Lord Jesus knows, we're not on a vacation here. This is a battle. Did y'all know this? This is not our home. We're only passing through. You know, our home, we're going home. But while we're here, we're about the Father's business. And so our world doesn't need Jimmy. Our world needs Jesus. And so this along this journey, he will lead us into opportunities for our faith to grow. And those are a bit challenging. I think back when I started high school in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So long ago, I can't remember where I went to school. And I remember I always liked to run all my life. I didn't like to run far. Forget the running far. I just liked to run from here to there, you know, and see how fast I could run. And so I got the wild idea I wanted to be on the track team. Coach Harper was a record holder, national or world record holder in some event that he was in, and he was a phenomenal coach. And so I said, Coach Harper, I want to be on the track team. He said, awesome. Come out to Middle Tennessee State University. It's track. We're going to be practicing. And everybody from the track, you just come out there. I said, that's awesome. So we went out there, and I'm just thinking, man, I've always wanted to run. I love to run. This is going to be fun. I'm just going to run. Y'all know what happened. So I got out there, and Coach Harper said, good to see you guys and some ladies out there. I said, here's what we're going to do. So we're going to start. I want you to do a mile warm-up. I was looking for a golf cart. And then I want you to do, back then we called them 880s. You know, it wasn't 800 meters. It was 880s and 440s and all that. And so he said, I want you then to do two or three 880s, and I want you to do three or four 440s. And then I want you to do this many 220s, and then I want you to do a cool down of a million miles. I don't know what he said, but it was a... I thought he was giving us the breakdown for the whole month. Man, when I got done that day, I thought he's going to kill us. I mean, this is illegal. What is going on here? Guess what? He was turning us into runners, though. We got to keep that in mind. Are you with me? Sometimes hard things come our way in life, and we act like, where in the world did that come from? What in the world is this for? You know, it kind of takes us by surprise. We just got to remember, we're walking by faith with Jesus. And by his grace through faith, we'll get into that. He leads us along, and he's going to develop our faith, because the older we get, the more faith we need. You would think you'd get it figured out, but I can just tell you, young people, you don't get it figured out. He's still working on me, as I said this morning. So here's what happens. We are on a journey of faith, but here's the glorious thing. The second thing is this, is that while we're walking this journey of faith, Jesus is praying for us. So the Bible says here that Jesus sent them away, and then he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So what's he praying about? Well, we can get a pretty good idea about what he's praying about. One of the things is that they tried to make him king. And it wasn't time for him to be the king. That wasn't the Father's plan. So I'm confident part of it, he was talking to the Father. Father, you're going to have to help me. You know, Jesus was totally God and totally man all at the same time, the incarnation. And so he was talking to the Father. I'm confident of saying, Father, you got to help me here now. I want you to keep me, because sometimes people want to exalt us, but that's not your plan for me right now. So I believe that's part of it. I think part of it was he just loved being with the Father. You know, we talked about it this morning. Whenever, for us, of course, we're going through the sin process and all those things and forgiveness, but for Jesus, he'd always been from eternity with the Father. He loved being with the Father. It wasn't torture for him. It wasn't a duty for him. He just loved being with the Father. And that's why the disciples eventually said, Lord, teach us to pray. Man, you love that so much. What happens when you pray? So that was part of it. But we also know part of what was happening. He was praying for the disciples. We know that because of John 17, the high priestly prayer that we have on earth. And so that's a pattern, I'm sure, for how he has been praying. And he said, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Jesus knew they were about to be in the middle of the ocean, and they're about to think that they may even die. And so I'm just sure Jesus was interceding for them and saying, Father, I know and you know they're going into a test, but Father, I'm just asking you, you help them through this test. Aren't you glad when people pray for you? Don't ever take for granted somebody's praying for us. I'm telling you, probably 20 years ago or so, when my dad was still living, well, so it was a little over 20 years ago, I went home, and Diane and I went there with the kids one day to visit them, and said, call Mrs. Hayes. I said, Mrs. Hayes, I didn't know she was still living. I thought, when I knew her 20 years before, she was 100. I didn't know how old she was. And said, yeah, she's still living. Said, call her, but she's not doing very good. So I had the number, and I called her. And her voice was just so fragile and so cracking. And we talked. She said, Jimmy, you know, we talked for a while. And she said, Jimmy, I've prayed for you every day of my life since you were born. I went, what? Hey, how special is that? Amen? And so, I would say to us tonight, somebody's been praying for us that we don't know about. You know, we don't even know. Now, I've told Brady and them and Chelsea and all these, but about 30 years ago or more, God put on my heart to pray for Brother Joel and Diane because I love them so much. And Brady will let him preach here eventually, won't you, Brady? So anyway, but Brady and Chelsea, I would pray for them. Rachel and Shay, Andy and Renee, Rhonda and Curtis. And I just go down the line. Philip, I hate to tell you and McKenna, but I didn't get to y'all because there was too many grandkids, all right? My mind couldn't handle it. I just stopped with the second generation. And so don't wait for somebody to pray for us. Let's get on our hearts to pray for somebody till we die. Because what happens is we normally pray for somebody for a while, right? And then we stop praying for them. We may stop praying for them when they need it the most. And so just ask the Lord. I'm not saying 1,000 people, but ask God to do that. But no matter who else is praying for us, here's what I'm here to say tonight. Jesus is praying for you, and he's praying for me. I mean, the Bible says in Romans, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who should bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died, furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who also makes intercession for us. Isn't it awesome? And so as we walk through this life, because sometimes if you're like me, as I said, the disciples are knuckleheads, and so am I. And sometimes I keep on making the same mistakes. Do y'all do that? Sometimes I don't feel like I am all that God wants me to be. And Lord, I need to overcome in this area. I need to be a bolder witness. I need to be this. Well, here's the thing about it. He's for us. You hear me tonight? God is for us. Sometimes we think he's not for us because of the way events happen in our life. We live in a fallen world. Hey, listen, we've all had some tough things, right? Every person in here could stand up and give a testimony of some very difficult things about life. But that just makes us a little more looking forward to when we get to go home one day. It's a fallen world. And so, number one, this is a walk of faith. Jesus is praying for us. Here's the third thing that happens here. So the disciples are out in the boat. They're in the middle of the sea. And so here's another thing that I've learned from this passage about walking by faith with Jesus is this, that he's praying for me and he will manifest himself to me when I've come to an end of myself. So what happens is the Bible says these disciples are out in this boat. They're in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now, so when this all first happened, I mean, you've got some businessmen, fishermen that have a fisherman business. And so they get in the boat. They've been on that sea thousands of times, sometimes almost every day. They know how to row a boat. And so when Jesus said, row across to the other side, you know what they're thinking? Okay, good for us. We're going to row to the other side. Well, they rowed for a long time. And then the wind got a little contrary, got a little boisterous, the Bible says. And all of a sudden, all right, man, pick up your side. You know, we're not going anywhere. And pretty soon it got rougher and rougher. And we know there were several times on the sea they thought they weren't going to make it. And so eventually they get out there and I mean, they're just trying to get it and they're not going anywhere. And then they begin thinking, man, we're right in the middle of the sea. Are we going to make this? Is the boat going to turn over? Are we going to drown? And all of a sudden they're thinking, we need Jesus. And guess what happened? In the fourth watch of the night, which is almost morning, he went walking to them on the sea. But they had to come to an end of themselves. If you're like me on this journey of faith, there's so many things that happen that sometimes I try to handle it without the Lord. Do y'all ever get on the internet and look up anything? The greatest source of lies in the world, right? I mean, why do we do that? You ever make phone calls trying to get a job and we send out thousands of resumes? Trying to find a house and we're wearing out this? I mean, have y'all ever, when we felt God leading us to do something, have you ever tried to do it on your own? Am I the only one? Pastor, have you? Okay, thank you, me and you. Hey. And you know what the Lord will let us do? He will let us come to an end of ourselves. I've always said that the Lord lives at the end of Desperation Road. Sometimes we gotta come to an end of ourselves. Because if not, we're trying to make it happen. And then at that moment, Jesus shows up. I told you this morning, we spent some time overseas in Malawi, Southeast Africa. When we were there, the World Bank said Malawi was the poorest country on planet Earth. It was unbelievable. Well, before we left to go to Malawi, we went out of the church where Brother Joel was the pastor before he was pastor there. And oh boy, you know, I even tried to look like a missionary. I let my sideburns grow down. They grew up over here, and I shaved this off. I looked like a crazy man. And we had a one-year-old, and they were inviting us to preach in churches. And I said, I'll tell you, we're going out to the bush, and we're going to win them to Jesus. And I mean, you know, ranting and raving like a wild man. And we were going here, and we were going there. And so finally we landed in the bush in Africa. It didn't look like Tennessee, I can tell you that much, amen. It didn't smell like Tennessee. Even the green beans there don't taste like Tennessee's green beans. Well, one of the first days we woke up and a roach was running across the floor. Africa's the place where roaches never die. See, they get killed out around here, not there. I don't know what size shoes it was wearing, but I'm telling you what. I'm just saying to you, I went, whoa. I took my shoe and whacked that thing. If I could have looked at its face, it had stuck its tongue out at me and said, you ain't killing me. It kept on running. I kept on whacking it. Finally, I killed it. And that was only the beginning. And you know what? After 2 weeks, Pastor, after 2 weeks, we're ready to come home. We were going to spend our life in the bush winning people to Jesus. But you know what? The Lord, he heard all that foolishness that I was saying before we left. And he needed us to get to the very end of ourselves. And we knelt beside the couch there. And we said, Lord, we want to go home. We hate this. We can't handle it. So God, you're going to have to do something for us to stay here. My wife will tell you, we stood up and began to love where God put us. Here's what the Bible says, these guys, our journey of faith, we're going to be called on a journey of faith. Jesus is for us. This thing, it gets hard, but Jesus is for us. He will manifest himself when we come to an end of ourselves. And here's what he says to us in this journey of faith. And I know we're all at a different point tonight where in our journey. It may be something in a husband-wife relationship. It might be something in a dating relationship. It may be something at school, in sports. It may be something financially. It may be a diagnosis. It may be someone with dementia that we're helping to care for. There are so many dynamics that we all have walked through, most of us. And so what happens is we're allowed to go into a journey of faith. And Jesus allows us to get to a point of where we're saying, we've got to have you. And then here's what happens. He shows up and he says, don't be afraid. Now look what happens here. So the Bible says the disciples saw Jesus walking and they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now, here's what's so powerful here, and your translation may read this way, but actually what this says is, here's what Jesus says, watch this, be of good cheer, I am. It may not mean a whole lot to us, but to a boatload of guys that knew the scripture, I am is the name of God given to Moses in the Old Testament. What do you think about that? I mean, Jesus shows up and he says, don't be afraid, I am. And they go, whoa. I mean, you don't have to be afraid, because the God who created this ocean and the God who calms the storms has just shown up for you. And here's what I say to you tonight, is that no matter where we find ourselves in this journey, and it'd be hard to believe that some of us aren't in a place where we're just needing a touch from God, just know that Jesus comes and he says to us, don't be afraid, I am. And I'm telling you, there's nothing God can't do. There's a whole lot that we can't do, but with God, all things are possible. On my desk at home, I've got one of those things you set up. It has a Bible verse on it, and it's Isaiah 41:10. I've used it as much as any verse in all the Bible, where it says, fear not, for I am with you. I mean, if God be for us, who can be against us, right? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Dismayed means you get news, and at first we're really scared and we panic. And so he said, fear not, for I am with you, and don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I'm not just God, I'm your God. I'm on your side. I am for you, I'm your God. And the Bible says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And God's righteous right hand can do nothing wrong. I mean, how glorious is that? That as we walk this journey of faith with the trials and the things that come our way, and we can be honest with God and say, I don't understand why you've let this happen. I don't understand why I'm walking through this. I mean, we've been there and we're going to be there. But God says, you don't be afraid, because I'm with you. And listen, God plus us is a majority, right? And he loves us. He sent his son for us. And so he says to them, so don't be afraid. Well, you got Simon Peter. Don't you love Simon Peter in the Bible? I mean, he's just a loose cannon. You never know what's going to happen with him. And so Simon Peter says to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he says to him, come. And so here's the next part of this, a lesson for me. Jesus shows up. We're walking by faith. He's praying for us. And he comes to us when we've come to an end of ourselves. He says, don't be afraid. And then here's part of what we can do in this, in that Peter says, Lord, you invite me to come to you on the water. So the next point would be this. When we're walking by faith, ask the Lord to invite us into opportunities of more faith. So you got Simon Peter, and he's in the boat, and Jesus on the water. And some people can say, well, he's just trying to show out, or you know, whatever's going on. I don't believe that. Here's what I believe is going on. Peter sees Jesus doing something only God could do, and he wanted to be a part of it. Peter sees Jesus doing something only God could do, and he wanted to be a part of it. So he says, Jesus, if it's you, get me to come to you on the water. I want to get out there with you on the water. And then Jesus said to come. Now, this is the point where maybe we struggle a bit, right? As believers, because where were the rest of the disciples? Now, this is not hard, okay? No, don't be afraid to answer out loud. Where are the rest of the disciples? In the boat. I mean, you got a boatload of disciples, and only one of them says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water. I see that you're doing something. And so here's what I say to us. Don't sit in the boat. Get on the water. Now, I do know that one of the places we spoke before we went overseas, I was talking about the call of God to go to Africa and all these things, and a lady walked up to me and said, I can say this to you, if God calls me to go to Africa, I hope my line's busy. In other words, I don't want to go. Now listen carefully to me. Life is short. This morning I told you that over the last probably 3 or 4 months, we've had close to 10 funerals, ranging from a little two-year-old, I think the little boy 2 years old, that was sick for 1 week, staying with his grandparents and said to his grandparents, I don't feel well. 1 week later, we had a service for him. To a few weeks ago, we went to a 44-year-old person, very healthy, his father-in-law told me they were out riding four-wheelers one day, and he said, with the kids on the four-wheeler, he said, my back's kind of hurting. And about 3 months later, we had his service. All the way to a great brother, W.D. Thomason, one of the greatest pastors ever in the Middle Tennessee area, in his 80s, I'm assuming. So here's what I'm saying to you. Age makes no difference to when you and I are going to check out. And we have no idea. And so here's what I'm saying. Our opportunities to join God in something supernatural are running out. It doesn't matter what our age is. Our opportunities to join him. And so let's just say, let's say God's working in my neighbor's life. And I see that God's working. Maybe something's happened, a crisis they've been through. And the options are, I can just pray for them, or I can say, God, if you can use, I think you're working there, and if you can use me there. You know, sometimes we might pray, oh, God, you help them, but the last thing I want you to ask me to go over and say anything to them about Jesus, you know. Amen? Maybe God's doing something in the church or wherever financially, and so, I mean, God's really working, and so maybe we would say, Lord, if that's you working, get me to come to you on the water. I want to get out there and be involved in something only you can do. I don't want to sit over here in the boat while somebody else is walking by faith. I'm just saying to you tonight, let's get out of the boat. Amen? Just get out of the boat. Just say, Lord, if this is you, if you're involved, I want you to invite me to join you. Now, here's the catch to that. The water's deep. So even if it's teaching the four-year-olds, you know, or whatever class here, you say, Lord, I think you're working in the children's department, and I don't know this, okay, but let's say a department. You're working, and God, if you want to use me there, then use me there. In other words, you're working there. I want to get in on what you're doing, but here's the thing about it. If I get out on the water, I better keep my eyes on Jesus. Because old Simon Peter, he got out on the water and he began walking. But what happened was, when he got out on the water, he began to think that he was out on the water. He got out there on the water and he began thinking, uh-oh, humans don't do this. No, fish do this. Humans don't do this. And he got to thinking about being on the water. And the waves started splashing him, started hitting him. He'd been out there all his life on that sea. And he began to sink. Then he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached down his hand. I like the King James, wherefore didst thou doubt? Right? Why did you doubt? So here's what I'm saying. We can say, Lord, invite me to join you in this ministry. Invite me to join you in this opportunity of giving. Invite me to join you in whatever it might be. But if we do that, we better keep our eyes on Jesus. Because here's what I found out. Just because I had faith yesterday don't mean I'm going to have faith tomorrow. I can have faith to work miracles yesterday, and I can be the most faithless person in the world today. It's every day. It's a journey of faith with the Lord. And so we're asking him, Lord, we want to join you. And could I just beg you tonight as a church, as individuals, before we leave this world, ask God, let us in on something only you could do. Let us in on something great. Let us in on something eternal. I mean, listen, the world can manufacture most everything the church does. I mean, Hollywood can duplicate things. We need to see what only God can do. We need to see supernatural things. And you know why? Because here's where it ends. So Jesus caught him and he said, "Oh, you've little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Verse 33. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Isn't that interesting? They didn't say anything to Peter. They didn't say, "Simon, Peter, man, you're awesome walking on water. Get out of here." They didn't say, "Simon, you got faith." They didn't even mention his name. Because when we are involved in something only God could do, God will get all the glory. Amen. See, as long as we're doing stuff we can do, they'll pat us on the back. But when it's something, I'm just telling you, when it's something only God can do, everybody will know that. And you know what happens? Hey, here's the glorious thing. We think walking by faith is just me and Jesus got our own thing going, you know. You know, we don't live in a vacuum. I mean, all of us, somebody's watching all of us, every single one of us, young and old, they're watching us, and we're having an influence on them. And you know what happens here? Oh, Simon Peter, he just wanted to be in on what God was doing. But you know what happened to all the old boys back in the boat who didn't have any faith? They said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." You and I want to be soul winners? Live by faith. Live by faith. It's always been my conviction. I said, "Lord, I don't want my children and my grandchildren to have to read a book about somebody who lives by faith. I want to be the book." And I can just tell you, I've made so many mistakes. I'm not going to go into a lot of them, okay, because you wouldn't come back tomorrow night. But I've made so many mistakes. But I'm still praying that prayer. One of the greatest things we will ever do for those who come behind us is to walk with Jesus by faith. Let me tell you one thing that God did, and I'm finished tonight. Thank you for not putting that little thing up here. Let's see. Okay, I'm close. So, my wife did not grow up in church. Her parents didn't go to church, and praise the Lord. This is what's important about you guys here, is that, and you guys there, is that a friend invited her. How old were you, Diane? Huh? 12. Okay, my hearing's not too good. 12. 12 years old, and a friend invited her to go to church with her, and she went, and they preached the gospel, and my wife gave her heart to Jesus and trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's why y'all are just, it's huge. It's important. So she didn't grow up in church. Her parents weren't involved in anything. So a little later, they began attending some. So when we sense God's call overseas, I said, "Diane, how are we going to tell your parents this?" My parents had praised the Lord for godly parents, and her parents are awesome too. But godly parents, and so we knew they would understand, because when I said yes to ministry, they said, and this is a great prayer for us as parents and grandparents, they said about me, said, "Lord, he's yours wherever you take him in the whole world. That's okay with us. They don't have to live beside us." Okay? Well, so that happened. And we're saying, "How are we going to tell your parents?" Well, we told them either on Christmas Eve or the day after Christmas, "If you're going to move to Africa, don't ever do that. That's bad timing. That's a bad Christmas gift." And so anyway, we told them, and they said, a good question by her dad, "How do you know when God's calling you to do something like that?" That's a great question, right? So we were able to have some interaction. So anyway, we went off to Africa. Our parents are country people. That's who we are. And so her mom had never flown. She said, "I'll never fly unless it's for one of my children." Well, so what happened is they came over to Africa. They flew over there. And, of course, they're looking around like, this is different. That's right, it's different. So we lived in a concrete block home on Lake Malawi, where David Livingstone, if you from history, the explorer, that's the lake that he found. We lived on the shore of that lake where he was. And we lived in a concrete block home that had just one room, a porch, and two places to sleep on both sides, and then a bathroom in the back. Just a simple thing. And so they came, and we sat down. It was his birthday. And so we sat down to eat, and I said, well, let's pray. And he said, hold on just a second. Would you mind if I pray? My wife had never heard her father pray in her whole life. We didn't know what to say. We looked at him and we said, we'd love for you to pray. Hey, from that moment forward, you couldn't get them away from the house of God. They not only served faithfully, when we would go to visit them, there's times we would go to see people to lead them to Jesus. He was burdened about his neighbors, his folks who actually were in his family. Here's what I'm saying to you. Our doing what God wants to do, and I'm going to tell you about all the times we didn't. That's one time we did, all right? But here's what I'm saying. It's not just me. It's everybody around me. And our goal of life is that other people say Jesus is the Son of God. Some of the people we're praying for, hey, we're praying. Are you listening? Say amen. We're praying for them, but the truth of the matter is God may be waiting for us. We're praying God would work in their lives. We're praying that God would touch them in a special way, but God may be saying, well, I'm talking to you about something, and if you'll do what I'm leading you to do, I'm going to take care of them because they're going to see Jesus show up. They're going to see how important Jesus is in your life as you obey. Walking by faith. Isn't it a great life? Walking by faith in Jesus. Would you bow your head with me for just a second? We just know, we know, in Christ things do not happen haphazardly. We're not just here tonight because we come to Pleasant Valley South normally or somebody invited us. God had an appointment for us tonight. And maybe tonight, someone here, you've never trusted Christ. It is by grace through faith. We can't work. You can't work for it. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. He's the Son of God. Jesus, would you be my Savior and my Lord tonight? I'm telling you, tonight's the night. I'd like to say, well, just wait till tomorrow night, but I wouldn't dare do that. Or wait till next week. Because I'm just telling you, we only have this moment in the presence of God. And so if you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ, maybe tonight you want to come. Pastor Brady be in the front. Somebody will walk with you and say, I want Christ as my Savior. In our walk of faith, in our journey of faith, He's trying to do something fresh and new in our lives. And it's involved in this church. It has something to do with this fellowship. I'm telling you, my life changed when my parents obeyed and led us to another fellowship. I met my wife and felt the call to ministry because my parents walked by faith. And maybe tonight, that's where we're at. Maybe we're on that journey and we just needed to hear tonight that Jesus is for us. Amen. He's for us. We're struggling. We're thinking, man, how can I keep on making the same mistakes? I don't know if I'm ever going to get this, but I'm telling you, God is for us. And maybe tonight we've come to an end of ourselves. We're just tired. I mean, we can't do it any longer. And that's where Jesus is going to meet us tonight. And he's going to say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I am your God. You might even want somebody to come to the altar tonight and pray. Say, would you just pray with me? Pray for me tonight. And dear Father, tonight, we've come this week. We have come. Because we are desperate for you. We don't need another event. We don't need something else to do on our schedule. We are desperate for you, Lord Jesus, to be exalted in our lives. And we want to walk by faith. So whatever needs to happen tonight, Lord, would you make that happen? and we'll give you all of the glory, no glory anywhere else but except to you. It's in your precious name that I pray. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you will. The pastor will be waiting in the front. Brother Mark will be leading us, and as God speaks, you come tonight.